Tonight we'll be in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 30 as we continue our study of the journey of faith. And we're coming to a quick close of this series. We've been on it now for 13 weeks and looking at the 30th verse of Hebrews chapter 11, the Word of God says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days." Now, last week we talked about what had led up to the Israelites and the Exodus from Egypt. By faith, Moses approached Pharaoh to tell him to let God's people go. And by faith, he and the Israelites passed through the Red Sea. We saw that last week. And when they passed through the Red Sea, they passed through on dry ground. And all the wonders they beheld as we looked at those wonders they were able to behold of God's mighty power as they walked by faith. After the Red Sea, there was a time through the Israelites' journey of faith that they didn't walk perfectly. Shortly, they began to grumble, they began to mumble, they began to complain. And tonight we come to verse 30, we fast forward 40 years. Moses' successor has now been in place and Joshua has taken the leadership of the children of Israel. And he is to take the children of Israel to the promised land, into Canaan. So we come tonight to this city of Jericho. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Word of God that you have given us, that we can learn from the lives of other individuals, their successes, their victories, their mistakes, their failures. And Lord, help us to examine these lives that we've been looking at and to peer into their lives and see where we can glean from their walk of faith and apply the lessons learned to our journey, I pray. Jesus. Amen. You know, Joshua was commissioned by God to succeed Moses. It wasn't Moses' choice, it was God's choice. And God's choice of Joshua was to lead the children of Israel. And not just lead them in the wilderness, but to lead them to the promise of God. Primarily, Joshua's task was to conquer the existing peoples that were in the land of Canaan. He was to capture the land, to conquer the land, subdue the land, and then to divide the land into portions of inheritance for each of the tribes of Israel. Now, we come to verse 30 and we have the walls of Jericho. Conquering Jericho was the first major obstacle that they had to be successful at. Jericho was a large fortified city. There are stories told and talked about in history of the city of Jericho. And we've studied it in other times, but it was big enough. The outer walls of Jericho were big enough for chariots to race side by side along the walls. Huge city. And it didn't just have outer walls, it had inner walls. It had fortifications. It was a major city. And so, if they're going to take and conquer the promised land and inherit it, it begins at Jericho, because Jericho was the largest, the most fortified city in the land of Canaan, and it sat right across the Jericho River, and it's dividing the northern and the southern halves of the promised land. And as we see in verse 30, the walls of Jericho fell down. Then I've entitled the lesson tonight of not breaking down walls. But I know it's not good English, but they faced down these walls. So we're going to faith down walls that are in our lives tonight as well. As we journey into the Word of God, and we go back now to look at where this occurred, and it's in Joshua chapter number 6. If you go back with me to the Old Testament, to Joshua chapter 6, we'll see when conquering Jericho, we must conquer this city to take the rest of the land. It's the first obstacle. So we come tonight to Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 1. And the Bible says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel." This major fortified city with an army has shut their gates and shut their walls and shut their doors and barred the gates, put up their defenses. They've shut up the city because of the Israelites. Now, if we go back a little over 40 years, we have the Israelites are slaves in the land of Egypt. And now a city that is known for its military prowess is scared of Israel. And they've shut up their city. It says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." Within the walls were these mighty men of valor. And God says, "I've given you the city, I've given you their inhabitants, I've given you the mighty men of valor." What God has done is He's promised Jericho to Joshua and the children of Israel. It's a promise of faith. As God had done with Abel, as God had done with Noah and Abraham and Sarah, as God had done with Jacob and Isaac and Joseph and Moses, He's now going to do with Joshua. He is going to bring Joshua into His confidence. And He's going to show Joshua His plan of how they're going to defeat Jericho. This is God's plan. It's not Joshua's plan. Joshua was a great military strategist. But this wasn't his victory. This was God's victory. This conquest begins with God's promise to Joshua. The promise of God is absolute. There is no gray area. There is no untruth. There is nothing that is not going to come to pass. This is God's plan and His promise. As we have learned through our studies, that faith is based on the Word and on the promise of God. Faith is taking God at His Word. Joshua here has to take God at His Word. We are going to have Jericho. God's promised it. God's word to Joshua was that Jericho is going to be delivered to you. Now we know Jericho was the first major city standing in their way, so they could establish themselves in the land of Canaan. And the 40-year desert wanderings were over. The generation that had wandered in the wilderness have passed away. We have a new generation that Joshua is now the leader, and it's time to march and take the promise. Joshua's, though not the only believer who has been given a promise related to conquering enemies. God tells us in Romans 8 and verse 37, a New Testament verse, that we are all more than conquerors. So who are our enemies? Who are those that are opposing you? Who are those that are causing friction in your life and are acting ungodly towards you in their actions and motives and attitudes. Romans 8:37 says, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Sometimes we live as we do not believe this promise. We allow those enemies to overwhelm us. We allow them to subdue us. We allow them to conquer us, to get the better of us. Sometimes we don't live like we believe that we are more than conquerors. But whether we like it or not, or act like it or not, we are. If you are a born-again believer, you have the Holy Spirit of God living with inside of you, the Bible says you are more than conquerors through Him. Our task is to live like Joshua and the children of Israel, to take God at His word and march straight into victory, following God's plan. Faith is not passive. Let that sink in. Faith is not passive. Faith is active and aggressive and going forth for God. God does not tell us to believe and then do nothing. With God's promise comes a plan. And it's up to us to put that plan into action. But it's the promise of God that empowers the plan of God. We have the promise that we're more than conquerors. Now let's go get the victory through God's plan. It's the promise that empowers us with the plan. The promise of God is, though, conditional. His plan is perfect, but it's conditional. The people of Israel had to follow Joshua into battle and implement by faith the plan of God, believing the promise of God. But what is this plan? What is this plan that I keep mentioning, the plan of faith? Well, notice with me in verse 3. God is speaking with Joshua. And God tells Joshua, "Ye shall compass or encircle the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him." The plan of God. A perfect plan of victory. The plan of God given to Joshua is well known. They encircle a city 1 time for 6 days without making a sound. They go back into camp each night. On the 7th day, they arise early and they encircle the city of Jericho 7 times. And on the 7th time around, the priests will blow the trumpets, and at a loud blast, all shall shout, and the walls of Jericho shall fall. As a Bible teacher, I've taught on a course on Bible archaeology in our college. And we've studied the walls of Jericho and the archaeological evidence that is found at the walls of Jericho were that the walls did not fall outwards. The walls fell inwards. That's interesting. And then also, archaeological evidence has shown that it was a time of year that the grain silos that were huge holes in the ground, the grain silos and the corn silos were full. So we know the time that it occurred. But what's interesting about those grain silos and corn silos being full was that God said, "You shall not touch anything in this city. It is mine." Now we know Achan sinned against God. But with that grain and that corn being in those silos, that is a valuable commodity. That is worth a lot of money. Not only food, but commerce. And any conquering people would take the spoils of victory. Children of Israel did not touch it. It was there found. The plan of God was perfect. We have God commanding Joshua to do something very unusual. Very odd. I'm sure you do not go to West Point and study the military strategy of how to fall a city by Jericho. That's not the example that they teach the cadets at West Point. Or at the Naval Academy, we at the Naval Academy don't encircle a city with our ships and then we shout for the victory. It's not taught that way. This was an odd plan. They're not going to proceed with a typical military strategy. They're not going to get ready to storm the gates. They're not being asked to simply march. Is all they're being asked to do. March silently. And then march around the city for a week. And then we're going to blow our horns and shout, and that's it. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there when Joshua gathers his captains and leaders and he gives the leaders the plan? There's no siege. No sneak attack, no charging in, no busting through, just march and blow the horn. Marching around a city and blowing trumpets and shouting as it was not anticipated. Oh, that's interesting. Joshua, where'd you get this strategy? From Jehovah God. Okay, it's a good plan. We have no one disagreeing. They have seen God work in the wilderness. No clothes wear out, no shoes wear out, food provided for them day and day and day. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night leading them. God's hand of protection on them. Okay, that's God's plan. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's accept it. The more history we have with God, the more comfortable we get with His methodology. Are you comfortable with God? Are you comfortable with God's plans? Then when He says, sell everything and go to Bible school. Really? Yes. Okay. I don't have a place to live. I'll provide it. I don't have a job. I'll provide it. Where are my kids going to go to school? I'll provide it. When you are becoming comfortable with God's plans, He won't surprise you too often. And you won't have time. You won't have difficulty accepting what He's asking you. I can imagine Joshua being a little apprehensive to tell his people, his leaders, who are going to relay it to the soldiers and the people.
But Joshua went forward in faith. And everyone in the camp got behind him, followed. There's a principle here. There's a principle of faith. Notice verse 6. And Joshua 6 still. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the reward of those at the end, the back, came after the ark. The priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. This continued for 5 more days this way, and then the 7th day for 7 times. There's 4 principles from the story of Joshua and the children of Israel that aid in our understanding of their inclusion in Hebrews 11:30. The first principle of faith is the principle of silence. Principle of silence. Notice again verse 10. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth. That means silence. The people were told by Joshua to remain silent as they marched around the city of Jericho. Once each day and 7 times on the 7th day, they were to remain absolutely quiet. What an unusual part of the plan. Someone has said that silence is loud. We rarely experience complete silence in our culture. But when we do, it's powerful. Have you ever gone out to the woods by yourself and sat down? Away from traffic, away from noise, and just sat down? It's powerful. Silence is powerful. Can you imagine an army of people marching silently around a city for 7 days in a row and no noise was allowed to come out of their mouths? All you would hear is their footsteps. Now, this is not going to be a completely silent scene, for we have a city behind the walls, an army upon the walls. But from those outside marching around, there was silence. Now, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of this command of silence? I think God wanted His people to learn to obey His commands even when they did not make sense. God says to be silent. I'm to be silent. This command reminds us that when the children of Israel were at the camp at the Red Sea, no possible way of escape. Moses tells the children of Israel to fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. Over in Psalm 46 and verse number 10, the word says, be still. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. and I will be exalted in the earth. What happens when we're silent? We begin to think. We begin to remember. We begin to ponder. We begin to reason. We begin to meditate things of God. With the fortified walls beside them and the command to walk around them silently, surely their thoughts went back to the crossing of the Jordan River. That was an amazing miracle. Going back to the wilderness journey and God's provision. They remembered quietly the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the power of God. I'm sure they said God brought us through seemingly impossible times. He can do it again. The second principle is the principle of submission. We must go back one chapter to chapter 5 and verse 13 of the book of Joshua. In Joshua 5 and verse 13, submission comes before strategy. Verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that's the night, this is the night before the conquest, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Now, this man had his sword drawn, and Joshua approaches him and challenges him. Joshua is a great military man. He is not a coward. And he says, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. This captain of the Lord's host receives worship from Joshua. An angel is forbidden to receive worship from God, from a human being. And the angels throughout the Old Testament, when the angels came and somebody tried to worship them or give them a sacrifice, they refused. Only one could receive worship. Christ. The pre-incarnate Jesus Christ is the captain of the host of the Lord. And he is here before Joshua saying, loose thy shoe from off thy feet, for the ground thou standest is holy, just like we have going on at the burning bush in Moses years before. And Joshua does. He submits to the Lord. He is submissive to the Lord. Before Joshua receives his marching orders, the plan of God for Jericho, he must first be submissive to the Lord. Joshua, encountering this mighty man with sword drawn, whom he does not recognize, but when he hears who it is, he falls on his face, begins to worship. And he says, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Joshua submits to God before he ever heard God's plan. Well, that's not how we operate most of the time. We want to hear what God says first, and then we'll decide if we're going to submit to it or not. That's not how God works. Submit, then plan. Joshua's submission becomes infectious in the camp. You go back to chapter 6 now and look at verse 8. After Joshua tells them to rise up, we're going to go circle the city. In verse 8, It came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord. No question. They just did it. And blew with the trumpets. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests. No question. They did it. That blew with the trumpets, and the reward, the rest of the camp, came after the ark, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. They obeyed. They were submissive, just as Joshua had been submissive. They were willing to do what Joshua told them to do because they knew where the instructions had come from. They had come from Jehovah. There's a spiritual chain of command working here. God speaks to God's man, Joshua. And God's man relays the information to God's people. And they hear and obey. The principles of obedience and submission are very much a part of walking by. It's interesting to note that Joshua never told the children of Israel how many days they would be walking. All he told them was in verse 10, he had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout." They didn't know if they're going to be walking around this city for a day, for a week, for a month. They didn't know. They just obeyed. Their submissiveness to Joshua and ultimately to God was evident in their willingness to get their instructions one day at a time. "Well, God, I need to know the full 10-year plan for my life. And then I'll decide if I like it, and I'll submit to it." No, God says, "You submit, son, and I'll show you one step. Then I'll show you another step, and another, another." If he had showed me 10 years in the future, I would have run screaming. But I needed that faith every day to take the next step, and the next step, and the next step. It all began with submissiveness. Think about it. Each day, they returned to camp after circling the camp, circling the city, being silent. Circled it one time. They come back to camp at Gilgal. And they sit down to prepare their dinner. And Jericho is still standing. And the walls are still there. This city had not been conquered. The walls had not been torn down. All they had done was silently walk around a city. And they did this day after day after day for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they get up early. Reveille sounds early on the seventh day, and they march around the city. Not one time, not Joshua keeps saying, "Keep going, keep going." Well, something different. I've preached this text before from the perspective of those inside the walls. Oh, something's different today. What are these crazy people doing now? They're keeping going around. They're going to wear themselves out. 7 times they walk around this city on the seventh day. They had no idea what the plan was or what was going on. They have marched. It's one of the hardest things in the Christian's life is to walk by faith without knowing the plan. Think of Abraham. "Abraham, leave Ur of the Chaldees and I'll tell you where you're going when you get there. Just keep walking." That's faith. Sometimes God does not reveal everything to us. But walking by faith means walking in submission to the one who knows the whole plan. Who knows the whole plan? Jehovah God. The third principle quickly is strategy. Verse 11 through 15 talks about the strategy. We've talked about it, the one day at a time around silently, and then the sixth, seventh day, seven times around, and the horns will blast, and then there will be a great shout. Silence, then submission, then comes strategy. God does not create a plan, though, without having a strategy. He doesn't make it up as He goes. He's very much in the method, just as He is very much in the results. The strategy of marching silently around the city for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day probably completely confounded those inside the walls. What? Go ahead and attack us already. God had a plan, and He had a purpose that might bring fruition, promise of God. The fourth principle is the principle of spirituality. Oh, this is key. I've rushed through it to get to this. Notice quickly in Joshua 6, verse 4, the seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. The ark is key there. Verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant. Verse 8, and it came to pass when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. Verse 11, so the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Verse 12, and Joshua rose early in the morning, the priest took up the ark of the Lord. Verse 13, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually. Because faith is ultimately a spiritual issue, at the center of the plan of God was the ark of the covenant. It's the physical, now don't get this wrong, the children of Israel eventually get this wrong. The ark is not God. The ark of the covenant is not God. The ark of the covenant is a manifestation of God's presence among His people. The ark of the covenant was the most holy object in the camp of Israel. Not because God was in it, it's because it was a manifestation of God's presence amongst His people. When it was positioned in the tabernacle, and when it was later positioned in the temple, it was the place where God's presence came to dwell among His people. Shekinah, glory cloud. The church today must remember that God's power is with His presence. If we are going to enjoy the power of God, and what we do as churches and as individuals, it will only occur when we seek to be in His presence. If we try to do this without God, it's not going to succeed. If we're going to try to reach Johnston County, if we're going to try to reach Clayton, North Carolina, if we're going to try to have an impact in our influence, in our homes, in our churches, in our workplaces, in our extended families, we can't do it on our own. We need to do it in God's presence. And it all begins with submissiveness to God. God wants everybody in your family to be saved. You believe that tonight? He wants everyone in your family to be saved and to live for God. That's His promise and His plan. But we have to first start and say, God, I'm submitting to You. And it might take silence, quietness, meditating on God. When our faith is tested, we will need to resist doing what we would normally do. Can anybody walk a tightrope? Anybody want to try walking a tightrope? No, not me. But in this image, our lives like this jumbled mess. And God's plan say walk. Walk by faith. We get out there and we start walking by faith. And we look around. We're like Peter. We take our eyes off the Lord and put it on the storm. We begin to sink because we're looking at everything that we're not supposed to be looking at. So our instincts are to say self-preservation. Fall down and grab the rope. Fall back to what you know. Faith challenges us to do things unconventionally and unpredictable. Faith challenges us to believe things will happen in unconventional ways. Like walls collapsing at a shout. This challenges us to believe that God will do it instead of us. Because if we try to do it, the walls are still going to be standing. It says again in Hebrews 11:30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Nowhere in this verse does it say Joshua. Nowhere in this verse does it say the children of Israel. The walls of Jericho do not have faith. The walls of Jericho do not fall down because they have faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. What's the way it looks? That's not what it means. Inanimate objects don't have faith. The walls fell down because of the faith and obedience of Joshua and the children of Israel. Israel, though, I'm out of time. Let me sum this up. Israel becomes presumptuous in their relationship with God. Not here at Jericho. It happens in Ai, and it happens later in their lives, in their history. They become presumptuous on God. We're the children of Abraham. Well, is that like God's got some special favor for you? You are not going to be judged for your sin? No. John the Baptist came and told them they need to repent. Jesus comes and says they were lost and need to be saved. Sometimes we get the idea, oh, I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm on my way to heaven. God gives me some allowances that He doesn't give the lost. I can slide by on a few things. Oh, no, you can't. 1 John 1:8 and 9 is in the Bible for Christians. We have to confess our sin for God. When God's commands seem odd, confusing, absurd, we better not ignore them. We better not try to alter them. Doing things God's way brings walls. What walls do you have that need to come down in your life? Don't try to tear them down yourself. Faith them down. Faith those walls down. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this great lesson that you have taught me. To faith down walls. Oh, I have obstacles. I have barriers in my life just like everybody else has. And Lord, I struggle to try to tear them down myself. Break through on my own. When I realize I just need to submit to your plan. Maybe be silent before you and hear from you. Then you will show me your strategy, your time. And when you do, help me to step out in faith and follow your plan. And then we will sing and shout the victory when those walls come down by only the means that you could have brought them down. Bless your people. Thank you for them being here tonight. Use this message, Lord, in any way that you can to impact our lives and our hearts that we might be better Christians for hearing it and studying it. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus.